am I doing here?
There you go.
All right, thank you. He's not only my fishing buddy, he is my friend. When he calls and when your pastor calls and talks about coming down fishing, I want the fellowship. I want to be in the boat where he can't get away and I can pick his brain. You know what I mean? He's trapped there for my questions and I'm all the time trying to glean. You know, I'm a relatively young preacher. I'm not a relatively young man anymore, but I am a young preacher. God called me to preach. I don't even know how old I was. We were saved. I was almost 25 years old in September 25th, 1988. Me and my wife were saved the same day. A little Baptist church. It was Vicksburg Baptist Church in between Jasonville and Linton. And we grew up in the Lord in that church. And we were at the Bill Rice Ranch. We were at a couples retreat in 96, the fall of 96. And that's where God called me to preach at Bill Rice Ranch. And I come back home, talk to my pastor, and I was working underground coal mine and been working there for years. And I started coming to Bible College, Indiana Baptist College, and I would come on Monday and Tuesday night and I worked the rest of the week. Well, I'd work the week and do that. And in 2004, God called me to Good Hope Baptist Church. Now, I was assistant pastor from 97 through 2004 at Bethel in Linton, and then God called me to pastor Good Hope Baptist Church in 2004, and I've been pastoring there. It'll be 11 years this next week that we've been there, and I just love it. I'm so glad that God placed me in. If God calls you into ministry, it's the greatest thing that could happen to you. I mean, you're a young man or older man. It doesn't matter. If God calls you into ministry, it's awesome. Now, I'd be a coal miner today. I would. If God didn't call me into ministry, I'd be a coal miner. I love coal mining. I got to witness to a lot of people, seen a lot of my coworkers saved, and I liked that work. I really enjoyed that work. My grandpa did that work. Both my grandpas worked underground. My dad worked underground for a time, and I just loved it. It was definitely in my blood, and I liked it. But I can't do anything but preach. I'm not going back. Set my hand to the plow, and I'm just going to keep on plowing. I've told them at Good Hope, it doesn't matter. They could starve me to death. I'd stay there and preach because I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to get to preach to the Lord. And I want to serve the Lord till the day I die. And I'm so thankful for that church. And yeah, we're a little church. We're a real church. But God's doing big things there as far as seeing people saved and souls being regenerated and people living a life and for the Lord. And it's so good, like Pastor Ted said, when people leave our church and go to other churches, and they'll be going to Texas or Arizona or Colorado, and boy, I can get in the directory and I can direct them to church, and every time they come back and say, you know, they're preaching the same thing, they're teaching the same thing, there are good churches there. Sometimes we feel like, especially down there where we're at, it's kind of like we're all alone, you know, it's kind of like we're isolated, but we're not. There's people all over the world preaching and teaching exactly what this Bible says. Good people preaching and teaching, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. I am. I'm just glad to be a part of it. Well, I have to say thank you to the Tids. I'm so thankful for their hospitality. Just the picture of a blessing, being a blessing to this preacher and my wife, and just always been a blessing. I've got to say that. You've got a tremendous pastor and pastor's wife, and I just appreciate that. This church has been a blessing. I could go on and on and on, but I appreciate being able to be at the couples retreat and get to know some of you. Jagger, that young man, I've seen it. He is like the big basketball killer, runner over guy of all the world. Okay, if anyone ever see him at camp running over guys with the basketball, yeah, that's our guys. That's the guys from Clay City. He's running over the whole time. Okay, I love him still. It's all right, but. Yeah, it's good. We appreciate it. I just seeing many of you that I've known for years, and a young man in the military. Appreciate you being here and appreciate your service. I really do. And that's another prayer request. Our son Ben, he's not a sniper, but he is a sniper in the sniper unit, meaning he's not actually officially got the title. He hasn't been through or finished the school. But he is going to a national sniper competition in 2 weeks in Arkansas, and, And God's got his hand on him. He's there between whether to stay in and get out, and God's convicting him, and we've been winning a lot of his friends and different things. And so that's a big prayer request there, and I appreciate our military. Well, take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 7. And typically when I preach, messages that are in line with each other, and this definitely is a kind of a continuation from this morning. This morning we looked at serving the Lord, sowing that we might reap throughout all eternity, and becoming what God would have us to be, so that we can reap. Tonight, it's going to be a continuation in the fact that you've got to stay at it. You've got to stay. You need to become stable in your Christian life. So we're at 1 Kings chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 13, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word. You read your Bible, so if I read the word wrong, you know the right one. Okay? You who know me know that. All right. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13. I get excited and start changing words. The Bible's exciting. I tell you, it's exciting, and it's good. It's good. So you read along with me as I read. And starting in verse 13, 1 Kings 7, verse 13. And King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass. And he came to the King Solomon and wrought all his work. For he cast two pillars of brass of 18 cubits high apiece, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either of them about. And he made two chapiters of molten brass and set upon the tops of the pillars. The height of the one chapiter was 5 cubits, and the height of the other chapiter was 5 cubits. And the net and nets of checker work and wreaths of chain work for the chapiters which were upon the top of the pillars. 7 for the one chapiter and 7 for the other chapiter. And he made the pillars in two rows round about upon the one network to cover the chapiters that were upon the top with pomegranates. And so did he for the other chapiter. And the chapiter... verse 19, and the chapiters that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch 4 cubits. And the chapiters upon the two pillars had pomegranates also above over against the belly, which was by the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows round about upon the other chapiter. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. And he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. And the top of the, and upon the top of the pillars was lily work. So was the work of the pillars finished. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask you once again tonight to help us, Lord. And I do pray you bless the reading of your word and the teaching of your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would convict us where we need convicted and motivate and exhort us where we need motivated and exhorted. Lord, that you would save the soul that might be nearest hell tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage the backslider to get right. Lord, that your spirit would have free reign, an unction from on high, that Lord, through your spirit and the power of your spirit, you might speak to every heart here, that every heart would be prepared, and that Lord, your word will fall deep into that soft, pliable ground, that Lord, you would have your way and will in this service tonight, that you'd be honored, that you'd be glorified, and we'll praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, there needs to be men and women in the church that will be that pillar that's pictured here. There needs to be men and women in the church that's willing to let me say it, carry the load. To be the pillar in the church, to stand as a remembrance, or to stand as stability within the church. This morning we talked about the fact that we're to reap, we're to sow righteousness, that we might reap righteousness. But if we're ever going to continue, we have to not let Satan hinder us, not let Satan stop us. But it goes further than that. That means we have to not just exist in the Christian life, but we must become a pillar or a stability or stable in the Christian life. James tells us that some of the worst people that are around are those that are double-minded, that are blown by every wind of doctrine or every wind that comes down. We see this in government. We see this today. 8 years blow in and there'll be one way, and then all of a sudden another 8 years blow and there'll be another direction. And the nation becomes very weakened because of the double-mindedness in the nation. Same way within a Christian, same way within a church. We must learn to be stable, stability in our Christian lives, or have that stability to be a Christian today, tomorrow, and until the Lord comes back. Man, wasn't that a wonderful song? I tell you, I'm waiting for heaven. I am looking forward. I go right now. I go on the next load. It doesn't bother me one bit. We've got a motorcycle, and I ride every once in a while, and people say, well, that's dangerous. Hey, I'll ride right off into glory one of these days, maybe. I don't know. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to heaven. Now, I know I'd like to see my grandkids raised, if the Lord be, but wouldn't it be good if he come back today? Wouldn't it be good? There'll be a lot of people going to hell, though. We better be about the Lord's business till he comes. We better be about it. I'm ready to go, though. I think about that. I just think about it. I love it. We're looking at these pillars, or talking about these pillars, so I ain't get back on track here. When we go to Gatlinburg quite a bit, and Pastor Frank Wood, many of you know Pastor Frank Wood, he's got a cabin down there, and we rent his cabin a lot of times, and we'll go down and just have a great time down there. And one day, I'm kind of intrigued, okay? You don't just put a cabin on the side of a mountain. That's just weird to me. You just, big old mountain, there's a house there. Well, I got to looking around. I went down behind and underneath, about slide halfway down the mountain to get around to the bottom of it. I opened up doors, looked in, and I couldn't believe it. This house is on like 20-foot pillars. I mean, I'm looking at them, and they're only 6x6 timbers. I know about that stuff, and I'm looking at them thinking, man, that's kind of dangerous to me. But those pillars stand there and hold that cabin up. I mean, rain, storm, wind, whatever, they're sitting there holding up that cabin. I always thought that was impressive. When I was in the coal mine, we would have places in the coal mine that would fall in. We'd have roof falls, and many people don't understand, but it's not like the old days. It's high production underground, and the safety and everything. There's a lot of accidents, but it's not like it used to be. But I remember one day when we had roof falls all the time. I mean, you're watching, and we have sections, intersections underground. And I remember one day I was watching it, and it just kept flaking, and all of a sudden just whoom, I mean, it all came in. We're talking 30 feet of rock come in. And it splattered you with everything that was on the bottom there, just splattered you. It was an awesome event. It was truly an event. And when we cleaned that all up, there's this great big dome in there. And I remember we took these cribs and we made pillars to hold up that roof. And every time I'd come by them pillars, it was impressive. You're going in the mine, and all of a sudden there's this great big opening, and there's these big old pillars holding up the roof. I think about that when I read this story about these pillars. These pillars were set up, and if you read the story, they were huge, like 7 feet in diameter pillars. They were 30 feet tall, or the Bible says 18 cubits, like 27 feet tall. And they had chapiters on top of them, or which were capitals. I wrote down some of these measurements here. There was around 16 to 20 tons. The chapiters were around 7 to 8 tons. There was these great big huge chapiters set upon these pillars. And I got to thinking about these pillars, and I got to thinking about what it is. And we can compare. We had a lady pass away not too long. And me and my wife, actually, we were going down to Texas. It was a cousin of hers, and we listened to the Bible on CD a lot, and I had a Bible CD in there, and this was coming up, and it talked about those pillars. And I thought back about a lady that was in our church. Her name was Paulina West, and that lady, she's 94 years old, and when you ask her when she started coming to church, she would say, in my mama's belly. Our church was established in 1830. We're 185 years old. This is a church that's been there forever. And think about this. This church has been there forever, and she's been over there over half the time. She was a pillar in that church. You know, there's been pillars in this nation. You know, there's presidents have been pillars. Washington, Jefferson, Adams. These are all pillars within our nation. We've had great godly men. Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan. When we were in the military in the 80s, if it wasn't for President Reagan, we'd have starved to death. And he became a pillar in not just the nation, but definitely in my life and in supporting of my family. There's pillars within the Christian community. I mean, Hudson Taylor, is he not a pillar in the Christian community? Taking the gospel to inland China. You have D.L. Moody. You have Charles Spurgeon. You have men like Sam Davidson. You have men like Dan Tidd that are pillars in this nation. Pillars, men that have stood and represented an almighty God, or represented something that's important, something that's valuable. And I thank the Lord there's still men and there are still people becoming those great Christian, those great pillars, those great testimonies. God wants us, men and women, to be pillars in the church. Now we know this, and there's several places where it talks about it, but I preached on, the whole armor of God and those great verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14 is take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth of righteousness. And talking about the fact that as Christians, there's nothing greater we can do than to just stand. Stand for God. This whole wind, this whole world is blowing every which way. Someone needs to stand for God. Someone needs to just be that pillar, that massive testimony of an awesome God. Someone needs to do that. Someone needs to be a pillar. And so I was reading this, and we heard this story again or read over this. And so I was thinking about it, and I thought it'd be appropriate for tonight. Now, Solomon, when he builds this temple, he builds this temple to be a testimony. Take your Bibles and turn over a couple pages. Chapter 8, verse 59. Think about little David. Little David, you know, you have the army, you have the Philistines over there. Little David's in his valley or in the Israelite camp. And he sees this, and Goliath comes out, and he's spewing these things against the Almighty God. And David recognizes it for what it is. It's just the face of sin. It's just a puppet set up by Satan. God had put it in his heart to stop. David makes this statement. Is there not a cause? There was a cause. Someone needed to stop that man from saying the things that he was saying against the holy and mighty God. And David at that point became a pillar in Israel. And he said, is there not a cause? Look here in verse 59 of 1 Kings chapter 8. It says, and let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of the people of Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. That's the cause. That's the cause. And Solomon, years later, after his father had been this picture of strength and stability in Israel, Solomon builds a temple, and in this temple, he sets up these two pillars because he knows this temple is going to be the testimony that God wants, that he might be able to show the world there is a cause. And the cause is God, and that God might be honored throughout the whole earth. And so when he builds this temple, he erects these two magnificent columns. And as he erects these columns and stands them up, he calls one, go back to verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 21, he calls one Jachin, and he calls the other Boaz. Now, we know this morning we looked at some different words and we looked at the meanings of those words, and there's a reason why God does this, and I talked about that. The word Jachin is defined as he will establish. That's what the word Jachin means. He will establish. The word Boaz means in his strength or by his strength. And so when Solomon sets or builds this temple, he establishes these two pillars out front and he puts Jachin on one and Boaz on the other, that everyone, listen, as Frank Wood's pillars was all hidden and obscure, as those pillars that we erected in the mine to hold up that roof, those can't be seen. Those are not out in the open. These pillars were set as a shining testimony for all. You couldn't deny that. You couldn't get around this. When you come to the temple, these were right there as a testimony of God's strength and the establishment of God's temple and God's kingdom. They stood there as a great big testimony. God's established strength. God is able to establish his kingdom that all the world may know there is a God. And that's what they stood there for. They stood there as a representation. They stood there as a testimony that God is able to establish a kingdom that all the world may know he is strength. He has the strength to do his will. And so that's what that means. What a picture. What a picture. There's a time in the Bible when Queen of Sheba is having a lot of questions. No one can answer them, or she's definitely thinking on that lines of in my mind, it's like, well, I wonder who this Solomon thinks he is. I'm going to go down there and show him a thing. You know, that's in my mind. Because she gets her whole train, her whole entourage, and they come to Jerusalem, it's as if to me, as I read the scripture, it's as if to me she's trying to show Solomon all her pomp and ceremony. And when she gets there, the Bible says that there's no more spirit left in her. That literally she faints, or she has no ability to stand as she wanted to stand when she's seen Solomon. But in the Bible, it tells us in 1 Kings, it wasn't all the gold and it wasn't all the silver, but it was how they assembled or how they ascended into the temple. And I'm thinking, can you imagine her in that picture? As she's seeing all the everything, all the majesty, just the greatness of a kingdom that God can establish. And as she's walking in, as they're ascending up into the temple, there's these two great big pillars that represents God's strength and God's stability. And she faints. The Bible says at that moment, there's no more spirit left in her. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to have that effect on people. I want people to look at my life and see God's strength and God's stability. That's what I want to see. I want to be that testimony. Listen, not so old Bob can get people going, oh, you're awesome, you're a good man, oh, I'm glad. God gets the glory. God gets the glory in everything. Hey, I'm just some dirtball coal miner. I'm just some guy from southern Indiana that's trying to lift up my Savior and lift up my Lord and hold him up, because he has called me to be a pillar, to hold him up, to be a pillar of a strength, to show that God can establish something that's honorable. I just want to lift him up. And you know, it's not very hard to go from the Old Testament to those great pillars to the church, is it not? Does it not God tell us that the church is to be a pillar and ground of the truth? Take your Bible. Turn over there in your Bible to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. You don't have to hold your place. We'll not go back there tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible tells us, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the church, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. God has set men and women within the church